So Father's Day is about a week away, so I thought there's too many good father's jokes to just do it for one Sunday, right? So if you had a dollar, quiz the teacher, and you asked your father for another dollar and 50 cents, how much money would you have? $1, answered Johnny. You don't know your basic math, the teacher said. He said, no, you don't know my daddy. Martin just received his brand new driver's license. And the family got out to the driveway and climbed into the car. And when he was getting ready to take him for their first ride as a new driver. But the dad immediately heads for the back seat, directly behind the newly minted driver. I'll bet you're back there to get a change of scenery after taking me and teaching me how to drive all this time, he said to his father. No, I'm going to sit back here and kick the back of your seat like you have been doing for 16 years. Have you ever been alone for an extended period of time? Adrift is our movie today. And Adrift takes place in 1983, and there's two people on a sailboat, and they're sailing across the ocean, and they run into a hurricane. The ship is badly damaged, the radio doesn't work, and the man is severely injured. So Tammy, who's the main character in the movie, has to kind of fend for herself and try to get them so that they can survive until hopefully someone comes to rescue them. When Tammy initially awakens, though, from the storm, her friend Richard is missing. And so she's truly by herself. She looks around the ocean, and all she sees is water, no land in sight. She is absolutely, completely alone. Now, the idea of being alone, that could sound like a great idea for some of you, depending on your personality. And for some of us, it could sound like torture, like a terrible idea. But there's a difference between isolation and solitude. Solitude is a chosen separation from something. Isolation, though, is when you're feeling alone, even if you're surrounded by other people. There's a book by Wayne Cadero called Leading on Empty. And some of the things that we're going to talk about today have come from that book. In this book, he talks a little bit about depression. And when I think about being alone and feeling isolated and feeling like no one is around that really cares, depression is where my mind goes. Depression is feelings of despondency or dejection, and this can last days, weeks, months, even years. And sometimes when Christians find someone who is suffering with depression or feeling down, they say things like this: confess your sins and it'll be all right. You need to pray more. You need to find a new church. You need to read this book, this self-help book. You need to have more faith. Just read the Bible more. And of course, these are all not bad pieces of advice, probably. But those are not helpful things to say to someone when they're in the midst of a depression. Because depression is a serious medical issue, and there's many approaches that are needed, and saying things like this is not helpful to the person who is struggling. Brenda Poinsett wrote an article called "Why Am I So Depressed?" She said that when she told people about being depressed in the past, they asked her, "Were you a believer at the time? Were you walking with the Lord? Were you reading the Bible and praying?" And she said, "When I answer yes to these questions, I can almost hear another question forming in the silence that follows. How can a faithful, growing believer get depressed?" This question reveals a common, unspoken, and inaccurate assumption that Christians are not supposed to struggle with depression. Many people believe that, and maybe you're one of them. I hope you're not, but some people do believe that. They talk about the joy of the Lord, and so how can you possibly be depressed when you have the joy of the Lord inside you? But depression is a different animal. Perhaps you've never experienced it, or perhaps you've never known someone to experience, but most of us have either been affected by it personally or with someone we love. Many people experience depression in Scripture. Isaiah called it being undone. Jeremiah says that he wished that he hadn't even been born. Moses was so down that he asked God to blot him out of the book of life. Job struggled throughout his life in the book containing his name. Even Jesus, when he was in that time of intense prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, says that he was in great despair. And if you read through the Psalms of David, you can see the ups and down roller coaster of David's emotional life. Many heroes of the faith and historical records have dealt with feelings of depression. Mother Teresa felt abandoned by God at times. She wrote, "I am told God loves me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. I feel just that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not really existing." Abraham Lincoln wrote, "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on the earth. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die or be better, it appears to me." Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers of the common era. Yet he suffered a lifetime battle of depression. He wrote, "My success appalled me, and the thought of the career which it seemed to open up, so far from elating me, cast me into the lowest depth out of which I uttered my misery." During his early years in London, he was often the object of intense slander and ridicule. He wrestled between rejoicing in such persecution and being utterly crushed by it. He wrote, "Down on my knees have I often fallen, with the hot sweat rising from my brow under some fresh slander poured upon me. In an agony of grief, my heart has been well nigh broken. This thing I hope I can say from my heart: if to be made as the mire of the streets again, if to be made the laughingstock of fools and the song of the drunkard once more, will make me serviceable to my master and more useful to his cause, I will prefer it to all this multitude or to the applause that man could give." He said, "It is good for me to have been afflicted, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary." I've shared many times before, and I've written about my own struggle with mental illness and being bipolar. And I'm happy to talk with anyone who has questions about that. But basically, bipolar is, it's a disease that you go up and down. You have periods of really high highs and low lows, and so you swing back and forth, and there's not a lot of normal time in there. I agree with Spurgeon on this point, though, that because I have been affected by this, it has helped me minister to people who are struggling with mental illness, and it's given me an insight that I can help share with people. I've dealt with people who are suffering themselves, and I've also talked with family members who are wondering, what's going on? How can I help? What can I do? No two people are alike when talking about depression, but there are some signs and symptoms that are similar to many people that are going through it. First, there's a sense of hopelessness. There's little hope for improvement. There's a pessimistic view of yourselves. The future feels bleak. And the future, the circumstances feel inescapable. They feel cursed by sadness and an apathy. Next is frequent tears. Person can feel overwhelmed easily and cry more often than usual. Difficulty concentrating. Inability to stay focused for long periods of time. Fatigue comes quickly, especially when trying to be relational with other people. Decision-making comes hard. Depression counterbalances rational decision-making with ambivalence and uncertainty. Irritability. Symptoms of touchiness, a bad temper, all of these things accompany depression. Not seeing a way out, the depressed person will often take it out on those closest to them because they feel trapped and see no way out. Insomnia, difficulty sleeping. It's one of the most common signs of depression. Getting to sleep, staying asleep, and even getting up in the morning can all be difficult. Asaph, one of the psalmists in Psalm 77, 3-4, said, When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. You have held my eyelids opened. I am so troubled. The confusion over his own life and the circumstances of his life have led to his incorrect conclusion that God is the cause of these things and is causing a lot of tossing and turning. In the night, he's keeping his eyelids open, unable to sleep. Another common symptom is lowered activity levels, decreased interest in group activities, lack of interest in life, and follow-through can be difficult. God sometimes seems distant, and previous activities that you've done that bring joy no longer bring the same levels of joy. Next is feeling alone. Elijah was a man who felt alone. He had a great experience with God and great experience showing the people that God is truly God. And then right after that experience, he writes in 1 Kings 19:14, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets by the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah felt like he was the only godly man left on earth. He felt that he was all by himself and had no one to turn to. Another symptom is lack of marital attraction, eating disorders. You can either stop eating or eat too much. Aches and pains, headaches, general pains, acid reflux, ulcers, heartburn. All of those things are common. As for the cause of depression, that often remains a mystery. There may not be a defining moment that you can point to and say, this is why I feel depressed. Because there's a chemical imbalance going on in your head. And it's going to be frustrating because you can't point to it, because then it's harder to try to avoid the next time it comes around. Because you don't know what that triggering event was. Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you do not. So what do we do knowing this information? First off, if you're feeling depressed, it's important that you reach out. Even though that's probably the last thing you want to do, you don't want to tell anyone that you're feeling down because you're afraid of the judgment that people will bring upon you. Oh, you must not be a good Christian. Oh, you must not be this. But it's not true. The truth is that if you're suffering from these types of feelings, you need to reach out and get help. Talk to a counselor, talk to a pastor. Medication may be one aspect, but medication is not a magic pill. It doesn't solve everything. So talk with a friend, talk with a trusted confidant, and don't go through it alone. When you're down and depressed, you want to kind of go inside yourself and keep to yourself. And that's really the worst thing you can do, because when you're by yourself, your mind starts spinning and spiraling downward and downward and downward. So you need to reach out to those friends. The Center for Life Experiences is a place here in Hayes that has different groups that meet throughout the month. They have a mental illness group that meets, I think, on the first week of the month. And then they have different groups for different types of mental illness and types of loss. So that's a good resource to check into. If you think that a friend, a spouse, or a child is suffering from depression, there's no real easy answer for me to tell you this is what you should do. You know your family and friends, how best to approach them, but unfortunately, many people will hit rock bottom before they reach out for help. And that can be extremely difficult to watch. What you have to be careful is of damaging that relationship. Don't push so hard that they shut you out of their life. Because when they reach rock bottom, they're going to need you. They may not see it now, and they probably don't see it now. But you need to do everything you can to maintain the relationship and not make it harder for them to reach out. Mental illness needs to be talked about, needs to be out in the public. We see more and more suicides. Every week it seems like someone else in the media is committing suicide, or children are committing suicide. And it's because there's such this stigma about mental illness and depression that we don't feel like we can talk about it. But mental illness is just like any other disease, whether it be cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, whatever it is. You don't look at a cancer patient and say, oh gosh, I guess you're not walking with the Lord because you got cancer. But yet some people think that with mental illness, that's the same approach. Having mental illness is not a sign of weakness, and it is not a character flaw. And it's something that we need to be open and talk with people about. Why people struggle with mental illness, we don't know. Why do some people get cancer? Why do some people get diabetes? We don't know why certain people are affected. But we cannot, we must not, judge those who are suffering. And when someone has the courage to speak out and ask for help, we cannot be there with a judging mindset. We must be open to hearing them and walking through this disease with them. Because just admitting help and going to see the counselor is not going to solve things overnight. It's a lifelong battle for many people when they struggle with mental illness and depression. No matter what side of depression we are on, whether we're going through it or whether we're walking through it with someone, we need to not forsake those basic Christian disciplines, such as meeting together for worship, reading our Bible, and spending time communicating in prayer. God has promised to use all things for good. Sometimes we don't see it, but we can have faith that God can bring good out of even the darkest situations.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.